Good morning, all. As we meet together again electronically, thanks to the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. In case you've missed it, we are at war. In fact, the president calls it a war against an invisible enemy. And it is true, it is an enemy that is at least microscopic. It's a virus, and it's ravaging our country. It's ravaging our world, especially certain cities within our country and certain cities in this world. The impact is significant. It is truly indeed a war. But the war I want to speak about this morning is not the COVID-19 virus war. I think there's another war that is being waged, and it's being waged not medically, but internally. It's being waged within us. And it's a war that has to do with battling and struggling in the battle against three things: fear, anxiety, and worry. I find that many are battling far more internally and facing this war within themselves and are more concerned about it than they are with the actual war with COVID-19. Last week, if you recall, we looked at Luke chapter 13 and we discovered people asking Jesus questions, or him at least addressing the question of why certain things happen, certain tragic things. And people wanted him to give them an answer as to why. And instead, rather than even addressing it that way, Jesus instead turned their focus and turned their attention to spiritual things. In other words, it's not important for me to tell you why this happened. It's more important for you to repent, or you too will likewise perish. So Jesus adjusted focus entirely from the circumstances around them and what was happening physically and in other ways in their world. Instead, he turned the focus entirely to what was happening spiritually within them. Well, today we come to a sort of similar conclusion, but we come to it from an entirely different perspective. Today I want to specifically address this battle within us regarding fear, anxiety, and especially worry. Someone has defined worry this way, and I first came across this probably 20 years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since, and I think it's a great description of worry. Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Let me read that again because I think it's profound. Worry has been defined as a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. This definition really hits some highlights with regard to worry. And first of all, it is a mental thing. It's how we think. And when we think in a way that is embedded with fear, that fear has a way of growing and growing and growing until so much of what we think about is all filtered through that fear we have. Worry is something that Jesus as well addressed, and addressed very clearly. And today we come to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. First book of the New Testament, chapter 6, we find Jesus saying these things. Verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about four things," he mentions here in this section. "About your life, number one. About what you will eat or drink, number two. About your body and what you will wear, number three. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" And here we come to number four. "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" So Jesus says not to worry about four things. Life, number one. What we'll eat or drink, number two. What we'll wear, number three. And the future, number four. The first three in verse 25 and the fourth one, the future, in verse 27. Do not worry about these things. So it appears very much in the form of a commandment to not do something. But what's interesting to me is so often when people read these verses, 25, 26, 27, they often ignore the very first word of verse 25. And that is the word therefore. Now we know as good students of the Bible that whenever you see the word therefore, you need to go back before that and see what it's there for, because it's obviously connected to the passage in front of it. And obviously in this case, that is especially true. And if we go back to verse 19, we discover Jesus saying, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus is addressing here the priority of heavenly things over earthly things. He's addressing here focus. He's addressing here value, the things that we value more than other things. And he's clearly putting heavenly things above earthly things. In fact, in verse 21, we discover that this has everything to do with what we care about the most. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we have choices. We have choices to make. What do we care most about? Is it the things here on earth? What we'll eat, what we'll drink, life, what we'll wear, what the future holds? Is that the focus that we care most about? Or is it indeed heavenly things, spiritual things? Is that instead the focus? Because we make choices every day as to what we will focus on most. And Jesus says here in verse 24, you can't care about them equally. You can't do it. Notice what he says. No one can serve two masters. In other words, you can't care as much about earthly things as you do heavenly things. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to make a choice. And in fact, we do make choices. Unfortunately, we tend to make very often the wrong choice. Our focus becomes things of this earth. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Is there going to be enough? Are we going to run out? What about my life? Am I going to be able to pay my bills? And what about the future? What does it hold? How long will this go? When will it end? And we worry about those things because we've made the choice that earthly things are more important to us and we care more about them than heavenly things, spiritual things. Jesus clearly says, do not do that. Don't worry about that. Don't let this fear of life and future and provision, don't let this fear create this trickle that meanders through your mind and finally cuts a channel so that everything you think about flows into this channel of fear. Don't do that. Why not? I mean, it's one thing to say that, but why not? Well, verse 26 gives us an answer. Verse 32 gives us an answer. And verse 30 gives us our third one. Verse 26, of course, says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? In other words, we don't worry about these things because we know that God cares for us. He cares about us and He cares for us. In fact, the birds of the air are proof because He feeds them And yet we are so much more valuable than they. So one of the reasons we do not worry is because we know that God cares for us and cares about us. He is our Father in heaven who does that. That's one reason not to worry. And verse 32 gives us another. Do not worry, he says in 31, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Second great reason. We don't worry because we know that God already knows what we need. So two things here. God knows and God cares. And that's undeniable. And therefore we don't need to worry. Because we have a heavenly Father who does both things. He cares and He knows. And in fact, at the end of verse 30, we discover something else. A third reason not to worry. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Worrying is a denial of both of those two first things. Worrying denies the fact that God loves us, cares for us, and knows what we need. So whenever we worry, it is an expression of a lack of faith. So those are three great reasons, I think, not to worry. Not to let this trickle of fear create a channel in our minds that controls us and focuses us on earthly things rather than spiritual things. God knows, God cares, and when we worry, we deny both of those things. Think with me for just a minute about parents putting a child on a school bus in the morning and sending him off to school. When that child gets on that bus, he may be worrying about a number of things. He may be worrying about the fact that he doesn't have his homework finished. He may be worried about a bully at school. He may be worried about a number of things. But one thing he is not worried about is the fact that the home he just left is going to be there in the afternoon when he gets off that bus. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about the fact that he's going to have dinner that night. He doesn't worry about those things because he trusts his parents will provide them. He knows they love him. He knows they know what he needs. He knows they care. And so he may be worried about a number of other things going on, but he is not worried about whether his home's going to be there and whether he's going to have something to eat because he trusts his parents. And to worry about those things is really a foolish denial that they love him and care about him. Well, the same is true for us. When we worry about these things, things of this earth, we really do deny that there is a God who knows what we need and loves us and cares for us in that need. No wonder Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Our worry strikes at the very character of God. We really deny who He is and what He does when we worry. No wonder He would say, don't do this. Don't do this. Instead, I want you to do something else. So here we have a contrast. Not only does Jesus tell us what not to do, but now He tells us specifically what to do. Verse 33. But, in other words, instead of worrying about these things, instead of that, I want you to seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What does it mean to seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness? Well, we can go immediately back to that section I read earlier, 19, 20, and 21. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But, in contrast, instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In other words, seeking first God's kingdom, God's righteousness, has to do with storing up for ourselves treasures in heaven. It has to do with the choices we make of focus. It has to do with priorities, with values for us. Are we going to invest our lives in heavenly, eternal things, or are we instead more going to invest our lives in what's here on this earth right now? There's an old story, old story told, about a very, very wealthy woman who, when she reached heaven, was shown an incredibly plain, small, little mansion. And of course, she objected. She was used to great wealth and provision and lived in luxury, and she objected and said, why have I got such a tiny little place when across the road is this incredible mansion? Who does that belong to? And she was told, well, that belongs to one of your servants. In fact, the man who took care of your garden. She said, well, how can that be? How's that possible? And the reply was, well, we build the mansions out of what is sent up here. We don't make those choices. It's what's sent up here to us that we use to construct the mansions. Obviously, you spent your focus and your investment and your value and your treasure on what you experienced on earth. But he obviously sent all of his treasures up here. Now, obviously, that's a fanciful story. But there's a principle involved. We make choices as to what will be our focus, our priority, and it proves what we care about most. Will it be earthly things and worrying about those things and being consumed with fear over whether we're going to have those things? Is that what will absolutely control our thinking and therefore cause us to worry? Or instead, is our focus going to be heavenly treasures, investing in eternal things? Are we going to value spiritual things above earthly things? That's precisely what Jesus says to do here. Don't do the first. Instead, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and these things will be added to you. You won't need to worry about them if your focus is where it should be. I think we have tremendous opportunity at this time to shift focus. I think we have, in this national crisis, in this time where we're supposed to be distancing, in this time where many are closed in and interaction is decreased, I think in this time we have tremendous opportunity to shift focus. To think about spiritual things and investing in them in ways maybe we've never thought about them before. For realizing how deceived we can be in pursuing earthly things and being worried and concerned and driven and passionate about things that will not last. I think in this time we have a tremendous opportunity to focus and shift focus to what lasts, what matters, and what is most valuable. And I urge you to do that. I urge you to do that. We have opportunity for time spent in God's Word, studying it and learning it and understanding it in ways perhaps we have not had the time to do before. We have time and opportunity for prayer, quietly, personally, intimately with the Lord that perhaps we have not had before. We have time in relationship with others close to us that perhaps we have not had before. We have opportunity, and we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss it. To reorient our thinking, our focus, onto things that last for eternity. And not wasting time and energy on worrying about things on this earth at this time. Someone has said that ulcers are caused not by what you eat, but by what's eating you. And I think that's true. A lot of people today. And Jesus makes the point here. People of the world are worriers. Not warriors, worriers. People of the world, the pagans, worry about these things. It eats them. It eats on them. What's going to happen? What's the future going to hold? Are we going to have enough? Worrying about that is an indication that you are of the world, you think like the world, you have a mindset of the world. Followers of Jesus are the opposite of that. We are people who know we have a Father in heaven who cares for us. We know we have a Father in heaven who knows what we need. And to worry is to deny both of those things. To worry is to prove our focus is on something entirely other than what is heavenly. Instead, we're consumed by what's earthly. This is an opportune time for us. It's a time to demonstrate how followers of Jesus think and therefore live very differently. Not consumed with worry, not worrying and wondering, anxious, fearful. No, that's what the world looks like. A follower of Jesus trusts in a Father who loves them, knows what they need, and refuses to worry and deny those two things. Father, deliver us today from worry, we pray. By reorienting our thinking, by causing us to focus and value things that are the things you value. Remind us, Lord, remind us, I pray, of how much you really do love us and care for us. Remind us that you know exactly what you're doing in our lives and in this world. I pray you show us those things. Forgive us, Father, for worry. Forgive us for the sin of worry. Because in that sin, we deny that you love us, care for us, and know what's best. Forgive us for that sin. And cause us, Lord, to be passionate and most concerned about your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will indeed completely change our thinking if we have let this channel of fear run through our minds. Bring us to the place you want us to be in our thinking, our loving, and our trusting of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.